Hi, and welcome to another edition of Jim on the Air. I'm Jim Sirianni, your host with the most. I'm contractually obligated to say that every time. And if you believe that, I also have this bridge over here to sell you as well. But welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today on Jim on the Air, the show that's about everything and anything and everything in between. But it's mostly about theater and entertainment and the performing arts. So that's all good. And I'm very excited to have another show here for everybody. This time around, I'm chatting with my good friend, Samantha Eve. Samantha started as one of the founders of Out of the Box Theater Company, which produces a lot of their shows at Center Stage Theater. And Out of the Box is really busy. We were just chatting off air before we started that it's funny how, you know, through the pandemic, the last couple of years, nobody was doing anything. And now there's all this theater to do and a lot of shows to see and to participate in. But Samantha is here. We're going to talk about her current production, which is Tick, Tick, Boom, which is Jonathan Larson's play that he wrote before Rent. And we'll talk about some other projects she has going on. So without any further ado, Samantha, welcome to Jim on the Air. It's great to, it's good to see you virtually.
Hi. It's great to, be virtually seen.
Exactly. Before we get started, you've been kind of busy. I know you've been traveling a lot.
It was really, it was anxiety. It was so much anxiety, but it was really fun. Right before COVID hit that year in January 2020, one of my New Year's resolutions was to travel to places I'd never been before. And I made it to one place. I made it to Iceland. I went alone and it was really, really magical and really fun. I did get stuck there with a blizzard for a little while. So that was kind of some hiccups and hurdles, but it was a blast. And then in March, everything shut down and that was kind of the end of that. So I've been really trying to get out there more now that I feel like I can do so relatively safely, so long as I go in prepared.
Yeah. And recently, were you in France recently?
I was. I went, I had a week off from teaching and it always happens to land on my birthday. So I went
with
Maggie Yates to Paris.
Very cool. And I think, not that I follow you on social media or anything, but did you also go to New York?
Yes, and it was my first time back in New York since before COVID. It's the longest that it's been, I think, since I've been in New York in a very long time, like since before I started college, because I always try to go back at least once a year. I have a lot of family on the East Coast and a lot of friends still in the city. And I just love, as soon as I get off the plane, I'm like, oh my God, I'm home. Like, I love the city. So it was really nice to see New York kind of coming back and the energy of it. And everyone's just so excited to be out and about and to be doing theater again.
And did you see, I'm sure you saw some shows. Did you see shows?
I saw six and I saw American Utopia, which a friend of mine, Renee, was in. And it was really exciting to see her on stage. But the shows that I missed, unfortunately, I did not get to see Suffs, which I was very excited about at the Public. They were sold out like straight through and they keep extending. So maybe they'll just keep extending until summer and I can go see it. I don't know. The other show that I missed, it wasn't open in previews yet, is A Strange Loop. And I'm really excited to see that. It seems really interesting.
And what is that one about?
It's about someone who is writing a play about someone who is, well, somebody who's writing a musical about somebody who's writing a musical about somebody who's writing a musical. And it just, it seems really funny and really kind of groundbreaking in terms of what kind of stories musical theater can tell.
Right.
And I'm excited to see it. I bought the script, the libretto, while I was out there. Drama Bookshop is back.
Oh, yay.
Hello, Miranda.
Oh, nice. Well, speaking of writing a musical about writing a musical, nice little segue. This kind of leads us into Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom, which Out of the Box is doing. Well, first of all, let's get the business out of the way. When is Tick, Tick, Boom? How can people get tickets, all that good stuff?
So it is only one weekend run, which is a little different for us. Usually we have a 2-weekend run, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be April 29th through May 1st, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday and Saturday, we have 8 p.m. shows. Sunday, we have a 2 p.m. matinee. And you can get your tickets by going to the Center Stage Theater online box office, which is at their website, or you could go to our website and click the little link, which will take you to their website.
So you can go, you can kind of drive the loop if you want. And of course, your website is outoftheboxtheater.org, and theater is spelled R-E, outoftheboxtheater, all one word, .org, outoftheboxtheater.org. And also the box office number for Center Stage is 805-963-0408 if you want to buy tickets the old-fashioned way. So I'm sure a lot of people are aware that Jonathan Larson did Tick, Tick, Boom before Rent. But tell us what it's all about.
Well, it's a really fascinating story, just the story of Tick, Tick, Boom and how it came to exist, because Jonathan Larson had been working on a production called Superbia for something like 5 years. Of his life, he keeps writing it, rewriting it, trying to fix it, trying to rearrange it. It was originally supposed to be based on George Orwell's 1984, but when he couldn't get rights to that, he revamped it, and it became this sort of sci-fi, post-apocalyptic musical about a world where people are disconnected from their emotions, and it's like there's this thing called a deliminator that like cuts off your arms and legs and sticks your head in a television or something like that. Like, it was absolutely off the wall.
Whoa.
Like, really batty. But it was really what he wanted to do was he wanted to create a rock musical that wasn't a musical theater rock musical. He wanted to create a musical that was using contemporary rock music, like the music that people actually listen to on the radio, that would bring in people that feel like musical theater is not their thing, it's too stuffy, it's too whatever. It would make them feel accepted and welcome at a musical theater production. So he was so ahead of his time in that, because now I feel like there are so many rock musicals, almost all contemporary musicals have been inspired by rock music.
Yeah. And I would venture to say that a lot of them have been inspired by Rent.
Yes.
Like Rent kind of opened the door. I mean, way back in the day, you had Jesus Christ Superstar, which was a rock musical.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you go, 30, 40 years until Rent comes along. And then I think that kind of opened the door for a lot of...
Yeah, one of the things that Jonathan Larson said was that he wanted to create the Hair of his generation.
Okay, yeah.
Which really explains a lot. And so he had been working on this musical, but it was too big for what it was. It had a huge cast, it had an involved set, the plot was convoluted and kind of crazy. He couldn't get the producers to put money behind it. He was given the opportunity to workshop it a couple of times with the hope that maybe if it did well, he could get somebody to put some money into it. But really he was paying for it himself for the most part, just trying to get some traction, and it just would not go anywhere. So he was so frustrated that he realized, I have to let this go. So he started working on a one-man autobiographical show about himself dealing with the loss of Superbia, just and what it was like trying to get this thing going. And so he would perform it just on his own at the piano, singing through these songs and just kind of talking to the audience and play out some of the things. Some of the songs from Tick, Tick, Boom are actually taken, extracted from Superbia.
And oh, okay.
Into Tick, Tick, Boom. So really, it was his way, I think, of sort of mourning the show that just didn't work and trying to figure out a new path, figure out what's next for him. And that sort of became the story. Now, after a while, he couldn't really get much traction with that either. It was a one-man show, and who else was going to do it but him? So it wasn't really going anywhere. And one of the things that he was also dealing with was the AIDS epidemic. And Tick, Tick, Boom dealt with it, but in a very offhand way through his perspective, not through the perspective of people dealing with it head on, very directly. And so he decided he needed to do something that would handle it much more in your face, much more directly. So he started working on Rent, and Tick, Tick, Boom got kind of pushed to the side. Jonathan Larson died very tragically young. It was just... I think
wasn't it just before Rent opened?
36th birthday.
And before his what? 36?
36th birthday.
Wow.
And it was the day of the first preview of the off-Broadway production of Rent. So before it even made it to Broadway.
Oh, wow.
He passed away. And I believe it was an aneurysm that was misdiagnosed when he went into the hospital. And so, it's just so sad that he never got to see, after all of his struggles with trying to find success and trying to make sense of success and decide if he even wanted success anyway, he didn't get to see how groundbreaking Rent ended up being and how much influenced the musical theater community and world, really. But after his death, some people came together and they looked at Tick, Tick, Boom, and they were like, you know what? We think that this actually could be something. And so they expanded upon it to make it a three-person show featuring Jonathan, his roommate and best friend Michael, and his girlfriend Susan. And so while they all play different roles around Jonathan, it's primarily the three of them, and they're all kind of on different creative paths, and Jonathan is trying to figure out what comes next before he turns 30, because he isn't where he thought he would be. And I think that's very relatable. I think that it is a really wonderful story that they've pulled from this. And the music is all Jonathan Larson. I mean, the story is all Jonathan Larson. It's I would say, like, a really interesting snapshot of a very specific moment of his life.
Nice. And so I'm talking with Samantha Eve, and she is with Out of the Box Theater, and their current production is Tick, Tick, Boom, which will be at Center Stage Theater. And for tickets, you want to call 805-963-0408. Or visit the website outoftheboxtheater.org or the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. I think I'm just remembering from the top of my head. So when we see Tick, Tick, Boom, will we kind of recognize a little bit of his music style that we're familiar with Rent?
Yes, I think that there are definitely a couple of songs that are very Rent-esque. You know, you listen to it and you see it and you think, oh, I can see how Rent came out of this.
Okay.
It's not the same, but you can see how one thing led to the next.
Right, right. And then, I hate to ask you this question, but how does the play compare to the movie? Is the movie very different from the musical?
I have to tell you, I haven't allowed myself to watch the movie yet.
Oh, good. That's really good.
I want to, and everyone keeps asking me, and everyone keeps talking about it, and I'm just like, la, 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 la.
Not listening.
Not listening, because I really wanted to focus on the script that I had and the material that we are working with and not what they did for the movie.
Oh, that's
because
very good.
It's a very different concept. They expanded it so much to make a film.
Right, because with film, you have to, you just have to do so much more. And then good for you for not seeing it, because I did the same thing with Frost Nixon when I directed the play. The movie had just come out, and I was like, I was in the same position. I was like, no, I'm not listening. No, and I still to this day haven't seen the movie Frost Nixon, but because I didn't allow myself either.
I keep telling myself I'll watch it as soon as we're done, but it's really hard, because once I'm done with the show, it's really hard to return to it. Like, I sort of have to turn it off in my brain. I will listen to cast recordings nonstop when we're doing the show. I will just be fully immersed. I will listen to it over and over and over again. And as soon as the show closes, I'm like, you're dead to me. Yeah. I will never listen to it again. But I think I will have to make an exception for Tick, Tick, Boom, because I really do want to see the movie.
Yeah, and you'll just have to wait until after after your production is done. Mm-hmm. So there are the three characters. Now, you play the girlfriend, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm playing Susan. Karzi Carter is playing Michael, and Nico Arce, who has been in a couple of our productions, High Fidelity, and Amelie, is playing Jonathan.
Oh, okay. And so tell us a little bit about the three characters, or about the girlfriend.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about all of them, I guess, because it's only pretty easy. But it takes place, it's 1990, it's a big year. And things are sort of changing, and there's this sense of something big. You know, this is going to be something big. It's a big year. It's a big birthday. He's turning 30, and he just doesn't feel like he's hit certain goalposts that come with being 30. Like, when his parents were 30, they were married and had kids. Meanwhile, he's still living in an apartment with Michael, working at a restaurant that he kind of hates, dealing with stupid people at brunch. survival jobs just to try to get the show afloat, because that's where his passion is. Meanwhile, Michael, who used to be an actor and who he's known for a very long time since they were kids, has given up on acting and is now working in a job that's in finance on Madison Avenue. So he's doing really well for himself. He gets a new apartment. He's, there's a little scene where he's talking about how important it is to own multiple belts. Like, you shouldn't just own one belt. Like, you should have multiple accessories. It's really nice to have the variety. And it's something that Jonathan just isn't there yet. He hasn't found that sense of financial stability He wants it, but he also doesn't want to leave behind what he's doing right now. And then you've got Susan, who is a dancer, but she mostly just teaches dance to spoiled kids. And she's tired of living in the city. She's tired of the 24/7 hustle. She still wants to pursue her art, but she wants to do it on her own terms. And she's kind of ready to leave New York, but Jonathan isn't. And so you see these two friends that are going in very different directions of their way of growing up and their way of processing their art. And Jonathan is feeling torn between those two, but also stuck, like he really just wants to keep working on what he's doing.
Right. And so, yeah, so the three of them are kind of like going in their own different directions, and mm-hmm. and where do they go from here kind of a thing.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. And so tell us a little bit about the music. Is it mostly like contemporary for the 90s, or how would you describe the music?
Some of the songs they're all really different, which I think is interesting. But there's one song in particular at the very end of the show, Louder Than Words, which I swear to God, it could have been written yesterday.
The
lyrics are so relevant, and there's moments when I'm listening to them that I'm just like, how have things either just not changed since then that we're still talking about this and this is still something that's coming up? Or is it just that we all come full circle? Like, I really don't know, but I listen to that song and there are parts of it where I'm just like, this is very current. This is right now.
Very cool.
And then you've got other songs. I would say the style of music is very, I don't think it's especially 90s, but I think it's very just kind of like classic rock and roll. Not classic as in like 1950s, but
right.
Just kind of like traditional, what you would expect from a rock musical. The music is really fun. Our music director, Sarah, is having a lot of fun with the piano parts as well. Since Jonathan played the piano himself, a lot of the songs have these, it isn't an afterthought. The music is pretty deliberate.
Okay, yeah, very cool.
Very strong choices with it.
Now, do you have a full band or is it just the piano?
We have a full band. It's going to be guitar, drums, bass, and keyboard.
Nice. And then the three actors on stage there at Center Stage. And well, it sounds like this is going to be a fabulous show. And again, it's called Tick, Tick, Boom. It's Jonathan Larson's musical that he wrote before Rent. And Tick, Tick, Boom will be at Center Stage on April 29th through May 1st. And for tickets, you want to call the box office. Do it the old-fashioned way. It's 805-963-0408. 963-0408, or you can visit either website, either centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And that theater is spelled E-R. We were talking earlier about spelling theater. Or you can also go to Out of the Box's website, outoftheboxtheater.org. And that theater is spelled R-E. Outoftheboxtheater.org or centerstagetheater.org to get tickets and go see that show. And please do. It's only the one weekend. The 29th through the 1st at Center Stage, and it should be a fabulous show. So Samantha, you have a lot going on. You have, at the same time, you are at Anacapa School and you're getting ready for a musical there, which also will be at Center Stage, is that correct?
Yes, but this actually isn't a musical. I would say it's more
of it's a play.
Music, yes. There is music that is original and written by the creators of the show, but it is mostly a straight play, and it is called Puffs. It is about a boy wizard who you may or may not remember from a certain book series that was very popular for a while. And many
it may or may not have become a movie.
that I will not be mentioning for legal reasons. But it is a really, oh my gosh, it's so rare that I read a script and I'm just laughing out loud. And this script is that. And I mean, for me, the source material meant a lot to me when I was a kid. I always was very invested in that series and in those characters. So it's really
about the boy wizard who shall be not be named.
Yes, we will not be naming. But it's really fun to share that with the students at Anacapa, who some of them have read the books and some of them have not. Some of them have seen the movies, some of them have not. It's really just a very wide range of familiarity, but they're all having so much fun. And it's also been really interesting in terms of props. I don't think I've ever worked on a show with more props than Puffs. It is absolutely out of this world insane. I have been, and you know, when you teach at a school, it's mostly just, it's like running a theater company. I'm just making them all myself and trying to stay like as
right
as contained on my budget as I can. So I was making wands out of wooden dowels and LED lights and air dry clay and paint. I've been making a goblet of fire out of some stuff I got from the dollar store downtown.
Oh, fun.
So it's really kind of allowed me to be creative and crafty, which I love. So
there's an old meme you just reminded me of. There's an old meme that a friend of mine had as a button back in the day, because a friend of mine who works at Theater Works up north, and she had this button, and it always pops in my head. It was doing strange and unusual things in the name of art, which theater is. I mean, it's like, you know, making a wand or making, let's make fire.
Well, it's out of the box a lot of times. God, I mean, I've gotten so good. I feel like at this point, I'm just like the local expert of fake blood. Whenever people are like working on shows with fake blood or need fake blood for a film, yeah. I get emails like, hey, what's that one that you use? Like, because I've got all these different ones. One that I use that will dry but still look wet. One that you can use that's thick that'll spread on things. One that you can use to spray, because there's a lot of the out-of-the-box props. Like, things get bloody. They will not get bloody in Tick, Tick, Boom. But they do sometimes get bloody.
Now, do they get bloody in Puffs or no?
No. No.
Because these are kids.
Well, no. I did have to create a dog where the head gets ripped off, a stuffed animal dog.
Oh, no.
And so I had to cut the head off a stuffed animal, which really just makes you feel like a psychopath. But I had to cut the head off, take out some of the stuffing, and then I glued in strips of red fabric, so that, and then Velcro, so that when the head goes back on, when the head gets taken off and you shake it, the red fabric kind of spills out.
Right. Okay.
So that's about as bloody as it gets.
That's fun though. What a fun show. Now, first of all, before we get too far ahead, tell us about Puffs, you know, the plot that you can tell us without, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, everyone knows the story of the boy wizard who goes on to save the world from the evil.
From all wizard. The evil.
he will not be named, but this is a different story. This isn't about him. This is about people, kids, who also just happen to be there, the Puffs. And so, you know, over the course of the 7 years that they are at school, they see Harry on the sidelines saving the day. And meanwhile, they are just trying to stay afloat, trying not to get killed at this school that is definitely not safe for children.
but yet children go there.
Yes, it is. You know, every year there's somebody new trying to kill them, or a murderer has gotten into the castle, or there's a sports tournament and people die. It's just like every single year there's something that they're struggling, you know, to fight against. And finally, in the end, there's an actual war. And I think students really handle it beautifully. They're doing a really good job capturing, because the show is funny. It's a comedy. It's written by some improv, you know, comedians. It was put together by that. It's just hilarious. But there are touching moments too. There are serious moments in it. And they're doing a really good job capturing that balance.
Now, with Puffs, do we see magic on stage, and how does that work?
We do. I think it's handled in a way that is very comical, and one of the regular jokes, I guess I don't want to give too many spoilers, but one of the regular jokes that they do is they will cast a spell and somebody will take a pair of glasses off their face. Oh, he fixed these glasses I was holding. So that happens.
It just happened to be fixed.
Times. There's a lot of really fun spells that the kids were able to create, and also spells that are in the script. One is Olive Guardium Leviosa, like Olive Garden. I mean, there's
Olive Garden, yeah.
Hilarious. It's just really funny.
Oh, funny. So it totally just spoofs the movie and the books about the boy wizard, mm-hmm. who shall not be named.
Yeah, and it focuses a lot on Wayne Hopkins, who is another orphaned boy wizard who learns that he is a wizard and goes off to magic school and wants to be the hero. He wants to be the Luke Skywalker. He wants to be, you know, all of these stories of an ordinary, average kid that somehow finds his way into this magical world, like pretty much every Neil Gaiman book. he wants that for himself. But in the end, all he keeps seeing is, oh, Harry saved the world again.
Right.
So it's a lot about
Harry gets to do it. I don't, but Harry.
Yeah. It's, you know, and the headmaster has some poignant moments that he, when he talks to Wayne toward the end, where he says, you know, it's sometimes you feel like a sidekick. You don't feel like you are the center of the story, but there are always other stories being told, one where you are the most important person. And it's nice. The friendships that you've made and the people that you've touched that will remember you and think of you as the most important person in the story.
Oh, neat. So it has a nice little message.
It's sweet.
Yeah. And how many kids are in the show?
Oh my goodness.
The whole school or?
No, well, it's a small school. And honestly, I think I've got about 50 kids in my class. So I've got a pretty decent percentage of them in theater this year. And we have a lot of seniors. So this is going to be their last show. And I'm just so glad that we're able to do something in person and something for them to have this opportunity, because a lot of them are not going to be majoring in theater. They're going to go off to college and pursue other things, and who knows when they'll find their way back to performing, if ever. You know,
right.
I know they love it, but there's other things that they love, and you get busy and life happens, you know? So I'm just really happy that with all of the stuff that's going on with COVID and the closures that we've had, that they're going to have the opportunity in their senior year to perform a really special, fun play together.
Oh, that'll be fun. Now, what is the grade levels of Anna Kappa? Does it go, is it just high school or is it all
levels? It's 7 through 12.
7 through 12.
Yes.
So then do you have kids who are seventh grade all the way up to seniors?
Yep.
And what is that like for you to work with kids who are, you know, at that age range, and then you kind of have to flip it, if you will, and then go rehearse, you know, with adults, like, you know, with any of, well, with Tick, Tick, Boom or what have you. What is that like for you?
Yeah, I think I'm very lucky that the students that I have, they don't need to be treated like children. I mean, they're teenagers. And there is a shift in the way that you deal with teenagers versus the way that you deal with adult actors. But in all honesty, sometimes I make the joke that there's really not that big of a difference. And it goes both ways, you know?
Right. Yeah, right, right.
Adult actors act like teenagers, and sometimes teenagers act like adult actors.
You know, that's very true. that's very true.
But I should say that my Tick, Tick, Boom cast is absolutely wonderful, and I am not talking about you, Carzy, and Nico, I swear.
Not the two of you, maybe other performers from the past. No, not to put you on the spot. So I'm chatting with Samantha Eve, and she's with Out of the Box Theater, and she's also doing a show with Anna Kappa, where she works. That's her, like, her day job kind of a thing. So Puffs will be at Center Stage Theater, and that will open May 13th through the 15th. At Center Stage, and same website for tickets, centerstagetheater.org, or you can also call the box office, 805-963-0408. Again, that's 963-0408. And so how have the rehearsals been for Puffs? Have you been rehearsing for a long time?
We've been working on the show for a while. We don't have the same schedule that some of the public schools have for performing arts, so it's all done in our classes, in our elective classes. And we will have some after-school rehearsals starting up as we get closer, but for the most part, we use class time to do the work. So we've been working on this, I would say, since late fall, early December-ish, and it's coming along. We've been rehearsing outside. We started out rehearsing inside, but then when things started to get bad in the winter with the new strain, the Omicron, we decided to go outside, and that just made everybody feel a little bit more comfortable.
Nice.
And we stuck with it because the weather in Santa Barbara is usually pretty lovely. So
that's true.
Outside, yeah. So we've been doing that, and yeah, rehearsals have been going well. Just get everybody off book. If anyone's listening, get off book, please.
Are they supposed to be off book by now, or? Oh, fun. But that's not all. You are so busy. You have Tick, Tick, Boom, which opens at the end of April, then Puffs, which opens in mid-May, and then you have auditions coming up for a summer show.
Yes, for Out of the Box Theater Company, it's rare that we do shows that have very many young roles. A lot of times our shows are more adult, more mature, and so we have a lot of adult actors in our casts. But with COVID and with so many teenagers losing the opportunity to perform in, you know, in-person productions, I just thought it would be really interesting to kind of provide that for the community. And I know there are a lot of other companies in Santa Barbara that do wonderful work, and I will sing their praises forever. But this is going to be slightly different because our focus is going to be the out-of-the-box focus, which is contemporary musical theater. Right. But we are going to be doing it with actors that are ages 14 to 22, so high school and college age. And so we're looking at shows that will match that out-of-the-box mantra, the philosophy, my passion for contemporary musicals, shows that aren't as produced as often, shows that have an interesting story or something fun to share. And one of the shows that came up is The Lightning Thief, which is based on the Percy Jackson novels. And it is a really fun story about the children of Greek gods that often feel abandoned by their parents because their parents are gods and have more important things to be doing than raising half-mortal children that they leave behind. So they have created almost a summer camp where they stay, the kids of these Greek gods. And they have different abilities, they have different skill levels, it's all over the place, but teen angst, there's a lot of teen angst.
Oh, I bet, especially if you're a dean of a god.
Yeah.
How do you even deal?
Gods have enough angst on their own, especially in Greek mythology. But it's a really interesting show with a lot of fun stage combat, a lot of really interesting puppetry. You've got minotaurs, you've got these Medusa, you've got all of these kind of
creatures
coming out of the woodwork. And so it's a really fun show. And it was on Broadway briefly. Shockingly, it was on Broadway briefly. It did not do as well as I think they may have hoped. It still blows my mind that when it was literally the only original musical that was that could have been selected for a Tony nomination, they were like, nope, we're gonna ignore Lightning Thief and we're gonna only nominate straight plays for their musical score. It got some poor reviews in the New York Times, but I think that there's a lot of frustration with teen musicals. Adults are like, we just don't understand these teenage musicals.
We don't understand teenagers.
They're not for you.
right. So so you're having auditions for Lightning Thief, and you're looking for age ranges, what, 14 to 22?
14 to 22. It's, like I said, a really rock score. So even if you don't have a ton of musical theater experience, but you've performed, you know, in a rock band, or you sing in your choir and you really love contemporary pop, rock, folk music, that kind of style is really important for the show.
And when does the show rehearse and when does it go up?
It looks like we'll be starting rehearsals in late June, and the performances will be at the end of July.
Okay. And will that also be at Center Stage?
Yes, most likely.
And of course, we'll have to, when you get closer to opening, we'll have to have you back on again to talk about it. But for the time being, though, you're looking for actors ages 14 to 22, which we were talking a little bit before we went on, that it's kind of hard with that age range because it's the end of the school year and they've got a lot going on.
There are school productions right now, too. There are some excellent school productions going on.
There's Chicago at Santa Barbara. There's, San Marcos is doing Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep, and Dos Pueblos is doing Beauty and the Beast. Laguna Blanca is doing Mamma Mia.
Oh my God, yeah, so they're all busy. And then they're getting ready for the end of the school year with all those schools, so.
But if anybody out there is interested in or wants more information about our summer program, which will be for ages 14 to 22, they can shoot me an email, which is at info@outoftheboxtheater.org. And again, that's T-H-E-A-T-R-E.
And that's info@outoftheboxtheater.org. Is that correct?
Yes.
info@outoftheboxtheater.org. And for more information. Now, what are you looking for auditions? Is it a video submission?
Yes, we're doing video submission, 16 to 32 bars of a contemporary pop rock song of your choice, plus a selection from the show, which I will email if you email me.
Okay. And again, the email is info@outoftheboxtheater.org, and theater spelled R-E-T-H-E-A-T-R-E, info@outoftheboxtheater.org. And is there a deadline for submitting videos?
Right now, we're hoping to get videos in, I would say in the next couple of weeks, but if you need more time, it all just depends on who we have and what we still need and when we get, you know, when people can send in emails. We're pretty flexible.
How many characters are in that show?
It actually is really flexible with that as well. It starts out a minimum of 7. It could be up to as many as you can fit.
Oh, okay. And so as small of a cast as 7, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome. And again, it's called The Lightning Thief. And auditions are technically happening now because it's all on video. And if you want more information, you can email Sam at info@outoftheboxtheater.org. Again, that's info@outoftheboxtheater, theater spelled with an R-E, outoftheboxtheater.org, to learn more about Lightning Thief. And well, Sam, I can just talk with you all day about theater. I love chatting with you about what's going on. And I know you saw some great shows in New York recently. And that was cool. But yes. Yeah, but unfortunately we got to go, but I wish we could talk more. But before we do, we just want to get out all the information for everything. So Out of the Box is doing Tick, Tick, Boom, Jonathan Larson's musical that he wrote before Rent. Tick, Tick, Boom will be at Center Stage Theater. And then Anna Kappa will be also at Center Stage with Puffs, and that will be in mid-May. And for tickets to both of those shows, you can go to centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And that theater is spelled E-R, centerstagetheater.org. And, or you can call the box office, 805-963-0408. Again, that's 805-963-0408. And to learn more about Out of the Box in general, you can go to their website, outoftheboxtheater.org. And Sam, it was great to chat with you, and continued success with everything, and break multiple legs, compound fractures.
Thank you.
And yeah, we'll have to have you back on for Lightning Thief when it gets
posted. Yeah,
that'll be fun. Well, continued success with the shows, and thanks for joining us today. And we will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye, bye, everybody.